Well, my wife is gone. Yeah. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, you know, through my life, I've been a person that likes to kind of, you know, have these moments alone. And I've been married too long. I just don't like it. I just don't like it. Well, my wife, if you don't know her, is actually a very funny person. How many of you know that Teresa's funny? Raise your hand. A lot of you. A lot of you know this, yes. Okay. So if you're a bit of an uptight personality, like I certainly was when I was younger, I fight it still today, but my wife loves to embarrass people who are a little uptight. Yeah, she's one of those. And I remember one of the first times that we went anywhere together, and we hardly knew each other at all. It just happened, you know, it was like after a church thing or whatever, and there's probably several of us at some sandwich shop. There used to be something called Racks. I don't know if you guys ever had that around here, but it was a sandwich shop. I just remember sitting there, and I was probably a little full of myself. I hadn't been saved very long, and I'd had a band for years, so I think I was probably bragging. I don't know what I was saying, but something that led her to do something that I just was completely caught off guard by. So I'm talking, and I'm saying whatever I'm saying, and she takes a drink of water, and in the middle of my sentence, proceeds to spit it in my face. Don't even know this girl. And after the initial shock, because it was quite a whoosh, I cracked up. It was funny. She has a way of making you realize that you are kind of making a fool out of yourself. And she's very good at this. She's done several things like this. She loves making you embarrassed. And like one thing that she has done, she hasn't done it in a long time because I've caught on to her tricks, is we had been in like a big department store, and she had gone off as she normally does, and she's off looking at things. Well, she kind of sneaks back, and I don't know it, and she's down the aisle, and there's lots of people in the store. My wife says, all of a sudden says, Roger Hudley, Roger Hudley, I haven't seen you forever. And she runs to me and grabs me around the neck and, oh, just loud as could be. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Just calm down. Now, she used to do one more thing that I hope you can imagine this, but another instance where we're in a restaurant, lots of people. She goes into the restroom, and you know those toilet seat covers, you know? She takes the middle out of one, and she puts it around her face so that she looks kind of like a flower. And then she comes walking out, and this thing's kind of wafting in the wind, you know? She's walking out. She's just, everybody's looking at her going, what? And people are laughing. And I don't really see her coming, and all of a sudden I hear people laughing, and I'm thinking, oh, no. I turn and look. It's Teresa. And she sits down. She doesn't take it off. I said, take that thing off. She goes, what are you talking about? What? She finally did. Well, I was always a little uptight. Teresa taught me how to laugh, and she still makes me laugh. And I want to talk this morning about a time to laugh. And I'm going to take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And this is a time for everything. So I'm going to read through here, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So this morning I'd like to focus on verse 4 of this passage, and it's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Stop and pray with me if you would. Lord, we just ask that you would bring your word to life today. I'm always amazed, Lord, how you speak different things to different people from your word, and it always draws them closer to you and brings truth to their lives. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when we read the Old Testament, because that's where Ecclesiastes is found, we need to do so through the lens of the New Testament. Because the Old Testament was constantly looking forward to the new. Okay? And the new was the fulfillment of the old. Okay? So the fulfillment was the life, death, and resurrection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and the message. So we read the Old Testament through the lens of the new. Old Testament, absolutely valuable. We need to look at it through the lens of the New Testament. So now in this passage, for sure, I would certainly say all of this is true. And when you read the rest of these scriptures about time, they're all true in life. Time for every season, pain and sadness, laughter and dancing. There's a time for it all. I want to propose an idea to you today, and that's that even when there is pain, that there is joy, that even when there is sorrow, that there is deep well-being, and that the teacher of the book of Ecclesiastes, which we commonly think of as Solomon, probably was Solomon, he had a limited vision of what he was seeing in his world in some of the book, okay? And at times in the book, he kind of saw through the eyes of somebody without hope. And he saw much of life as meaningless. That's repeated a lot of times. That it's all meaningless, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. It's one of my favorites. And one of the reasons it's one of my favorites is sort of the tension, the tug and pull of it all. I constantly am reading through it thinking, God, what are you saying? What are you saying through this book? And the writer seems to see a lot of things through the eyes of despair, okay? And when we see through the eyes of Christ, we see something different. We see love, we see hope, we see compassion, we see possibility, we see a future, we see miracles, and we see power. And there is resolve in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you read through it, so it's not all despair, okay? But it's this tension between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And it's just very, very interesting. As a worship leader for many years, I know what it is to laugh in worship and to dance in worship. Many of you have seen me do this over the years. I don't do as much of it now that I'm older, but it hurts a little bit. But I've done it many times. And, a lot of times it was when my circumstances didn't necessarily warrant, that kind of reaction. I think of a few times. I remember after my dad died. And I shared this with the congregation as this was going on, and after it happened, I just kind of shared my heart through it all. Difficult time for me, and there's been a few people in our congregation that have lost parents in recent weeks. And during that worship time, after my dad died, that I was leading and being a part of with my incredible team, whom I love incredibly, many of them have been with me for many years. I can remember crying in the worship, and I remember just biggest grin on my face because I knew where my dad was. And it was wonderful. I remember Roseanne Johnson, who was on the worship team. Many of you probably remember Roseanne. She was just, what a sweet person. She, out of nowhere, passed away. And so then we had to lead worship. She was on the worship team. She sang. We used to have a little choir over here, and she sang over there. And I remember before everybody got here that morning, I went over there, and there was a music stand over there, and I stood there, and I just looked where she usually stood, and I just thought, she's not coming back. Doesn't quite compute. And I remember that worship time, and I remember the same thing. I can remember crying during the worship, and I remember just going, what a great life. What a great life, and what a great life she's still living. And she's having a wonderful time. And so, yeah, you get these two things going on. Sometimes laughing, sometimes dancing, and it's not always when everything's fantastic. You know, so there's been a lot of times I've led worship with struggles, stresses, worries, confusion, despair, ups and downs. You know, sometimes I smile, sometimes I laugh, sometimes I dance. It's, you know, sometimes when I've danced up here, it's not exactly dancing with the stars. It's just a lot of skipping and jumping, you know, that kind of a thing. It's, you know, there's no style points. It's not what it's about, obviously. But it's part of it, you know, and is it lunacy? Is it madness? That through some of the crazy stuff of life, I have found myself doing this in worship. And I think some of you probably have too. And so what's the secret? What's the secret to this strange behavior of rejoicing in the midst of sadness and trial? Well, there's a secret. It's a secret. And most of you in here know the secret. It's Jesus. Jesus is the secret. Okay? Let's talk about this a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Okay, let me just stop there for a second. What he's basically saying is that the Holy Spirit was speaking to the prophets about the coming Messiah, not knowing exactly when this was going to happen. And we're going to find out next that they knew this wasn't going to happen in their lifetime. They were speaking of the future. So it was still a big secret, even though the Holy Spirit was giving them some insight. Okay? So it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. So the prophets weren't serving themselves. So they knew they would not see the Messiah in their lifetime. The sufferings and the glories of Christ, all of the many of the things that we know and we're still learning and discovering as each day goes by, they're of great interest even to the angels, says here. Even angels long to look. It's a mystery to the angels and a glorious mystery. It was the great secret or mystery in the Old Testament and still is to those that don't know him. And if you don't know Jesus today, I need to tell you, I'm letting you in on the secret to a great life for you. And his name is Jesus Christ. You may have heard him spoken of many times, but he really is the secret to a great life for you. Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 and 17 says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see," this is Jesus speaking, "and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not see it." See, the Old Testament was looking forward to the new. They didn't see it. The prophets of old, they weren't able to see the Messiah. They weren't able to hear what these people were hearing. And that's what we get to see and hear is the gospel message. All of these people for hundreds and hundreds of years in the Old Testament were looking forward to the Messiah. So when we have an understanding for what Christ has done on the cross, there's several things here that I wrote down. These are things that I personally have experienced, and there is a long, long list that I just made a short one. He had me in mind when I didn't deserve any of it. I get that. Christ went to the cross when I personally didn't deserve any of it at all, and had done many, many wrong things and hurt many people. When he was on the cross, he made me a whole person. I don't know if you've ever experienced that where you're like, man, I'm just not complete. I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. And you try to find that answer in all different kinds of things. Okay. He freed me from my sin that I did. Okay. Don't hear a lot about sin these days. But I need to tell you that if you are in sin, then it's destroying you little by little. And before I knew Jesus, I'm not going to go into any detail. Let's just say I sinned a little. But he saved me. He saved me from that so that I was at least able to make some better choices. Okay? He gave me hope. Man, I did not have it. He gave me purpose for my life. At the time that I got saved, I thought I was going to be a rock star. And that's what I didn't go to college because I wanted to be a rock star. I could have. That's what my goal was. Most of my life was that. It was to be a rock star. And so I spent all my energy toward that. And when that fell apart, my life fell apart. It had already fallen apart before then, but then all of the drugs and all of the alcohol all kind of went, and then I was in the bottom of the pit. And that's how I was finally able to look up. But God gave me a purpose for my life. He gave me blessings in the form of family. Now, I have a good family, my own family that I have shared with you about. They're great. Then I was married into Teresa's family, and they're an incredible family. But then I had my own family. Now, that wasn't great, and I was not headed that direction for sure. Blessings in the form of family. And that just wasn't for me, but it was for all people. And now I can think about somebody else. That's an amazing thing. And if you're not me, you may not know what I'm talking about, but I didn't think about anybody else except me. And there's a whole other world out there. And there's a lot of people that you can help. It's a great thing. So I want to tell you something. Joy is never far from the surface when we know Jesus. It's never far from the surface. Okay? So I'm going to take us through Psalm 23 really quickly. And I am amazed at the parallels in Psalm 23, it really looks forward to what Christ was going to do on the cross. So here we go. One of my favorites. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I'm going to take a little different direction here on this portion of scripture. I hadn't quite thought of it in this way. It's funny because somebody was praying this earlier and I thought, oh, that's cool. That God has made his creation for us to enjoy and to bring us peace and well-being. I hadn't thought of the scripture in that way. We're talking about green pastures. We're talking about quiet waters. How many times have you walked in the woods, if the woods is your thing, kind of is mine, and then you sense a calming, a peace? How many times are you standing in a beautiful green meadow, calming, peaceful, beside a brook or a creek? I went golfing with my good friend Chuck the other day, and I just stopped, and there's a creek that runs throughout at Stone Ridge, and I just kind of stood there for a little bit while we were waiting for another group. And I just thought, wow, this is so cool. This is so peaceful, peaceful and quiet. And maybe the ocean is your thing, and standing on the sandy shore and getting your feet in the sand and looking out over the ocean and how that brings a calm. And these things that God has created bring a calm and a peace to your life. Verse 3, He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. So the shepherd shows us which way to go to keep us from danger and to be a good witness for Him, because it says, for His name's sake. So He's concerned about that, that we present His name well, and He'll show us which way to go. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. So even though we're tempted with fear, there is no need to fear. Because of Jesus, I almost went to something that would have really dated me, which is, anybody remember Underdog? Okay, that was a long time ago. Never fear, yes. Okay, that was a long time ago. It's almost sacrilegious right in the middle of going through Psalm 23. Here we go. Never fear, Underdog is here. Here we go. So You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. This is great. It's kind of hard to understand this portion of Scripture, but let me try to here a little bit. Abundant provision and a feast. Picture a feast, and picture like a small hill, and at the top of the hill, and this would be David, but you or me, and we're sitting at the top of a hill. Jesus is serving us a feast, and His enemies are all at the bottom of the hill, and there's nothing they can do about the fact that David is having this feast. He's in complete peace, and His enemies are helpless to do anything about it because of the Good Shepherd. It's a wonderful picture. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy we can never escape. Our forever, our eternity is in His hands, and we're going to be with Him for eternity. I love that last line. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can remember, these things are so clear to me. I remember sitting in church after I was saved, and I just remember, I would just sit there and cry. I mean, I really don't cry that often. Once in a while, a few movies, few things in life, but I would just sit there and cry, just sit there and go, man, I can't believe what a blessing it is to be in this church. At the time, it was Assemblies of God up in Albany, Oregon, and wonderful. I've always loved the house of God. I always think it's so sad when people stop fellowshipping with one another because there's so many blessings you're missing out on. It's such a wonderful thing. The church is absolutely incredible, and I'm absolutely sold on it. I love it. I love it. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I just completely go to, I will dwell with Jesus forever, and I'm going to walk from this life to the next forever, forever. And don't you think as we read through Psalm 23 that we get, don't you get this like overall sense of well-being when you read through that? You just kind of go, oh. It's such an amazing, portion of Scripture, but just an amazing thing that this guy wrote, that you can just read through this and just peace comes into your spirit. It's absolutely amazing to me. No matter what comes my way, the Good Shepherd is with me. So who is the Good Shepherd? Let's find out. John chapter 10, verse 14. This is Jesus. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Think of reading through Psalm 23 when it says the shepherd, and Jesus is the Good Shepherd. So when we read the Old Testament, we read it through the lens of the New, and that Jesus is in Psalm 23 all the way through it. He is the Good Shepherd. So what has Jesus done by his sacrifice on the cross? You know, this is just another thing. I just started typing. And again, this list could be endless. I just start typing things, what Jesus has done, and just kind of left it the way it was. So I just kind of, I think it's going to be on the screen. So this is just me just going for the typing here. So here we go. Not edited. He's given us hope for this life on earth and eternity. He set a course for our life. Blessings come as we serve him. The longer you serve him, the more blessings you're going to see, and you're going to find those blessings in places you had never thought you'd have found them. Yeah. There's peace in our spirit. We can enjoy each moment of life because of peace of mind and spirit. So, yeah, we have peace in our spirit. What does that mean? Well, that means that there's so many blessings from that. That means that you can enjoy each moment. You really can. And that there's a space for that. And you know that old saying of, you know, stopping and smelling the roses, it really is a great saying because it's so true. It's so true that you do need to stop. Maybe you're a person like me, and I like to work, and go, and accomplish, but then I've got to stop, and when I do, it's so good. It's so good, just stopping. Peace in our spirit, and we can enjoy each moment. He is with us in times of pain and times of sorrow. The longer you live, the more you realize that. And then I wrote, he heals us of pain and sorrow. And what I mean by that is, I mean, they leave a scar, but he heals us, okay? So we can move forward. And he's given his creation to enjoy, as I talked about earlier. He never leaves us. He ministers to others through the working of his Holy Spirit, so then he uses us. And so that's just some. Jesus is the secret to joy, to laughter, to dancing. And joy is never far from the surface. If you're going through something tough now, or you go through something tough in the future, no matter what it feels like, there's joy just below the surface, okay? I may be grieving, but Jesus is still there. I may be confused, but Jesus is still there. I may be hurting, but Jesus is still there. I may be stressed out. Have you ever been stressed out? I was stressed out a couple weeks ago. Jesus is still there. There's always, I love that song we sing, Another in the Fire. You know, and that goes back to that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace, and there was another in the fire. Jesus is with us in the fire, in the midst of our trial. Hope is there, and light is just around the corner. So those of you that are going through a difficult time, if you want peace, if you want guidance, if you want healing, you want hope, you want restoration for your life, restoration for relationships, that's something that we keep, it's a challenge for us, that we always have to work hard at restoring relationships that get a little wonky once in a while. Wonky is a Renee Phelps word, just so you know. Sort of come into my vocabulary. And so you got to understand you're not going to get that anywhere but from Jesus Christ himself. Remember, he's the secret. He's the secret. He's going to be with you, but if you don't stop and listen to him, seek him and recognize his presence and give him control, listen, if you don't do that, then you're not going to find peace. You're not going to find guidance. You're not going to find healing. You're not going to find restoration. You're not going to find hope. And trust me, I know what it's like. It's not like, you know, I'm perfect and always have just the right attitude and always am seeking Jesus for every circumstance. I mean, I want to, but I don't always. And if you don't, even though the things that you're doing might seem really good, you can end up back on that merry-go-round, and you're going to be going round and round without peace, without hope, without restoration, you know, whether you find it in good entertainment, even if it's good entertainment. You know, obviously you're not going to find it through drugs, alcohol, that kind of a thing. If you think that's what's going to help you just feel better for a little while, it might help you feel better for a little bit. But then in the end, you're right back where you started, okay? And so you're not going to find it. You're not going to find any of these things without Jesus Christ. And it sounds so simple, but it's just so true. And if you keep making decisions that take you away from his purpose for your life, then you're going to continue to struggle. I'm just trying to help you, okay? Look, I tell you, this summer, I'm just going to open up my heart to you. It's been challenging on several fronts, but just because we've been, lots of reasons, we've been short-staffed and things like that. But it's made me realize something, that I'm just me. I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who screwed up his life, and Jesus picked me up out of it, took me out of it. That's me. And so I do my best to follow the Lord, as simple as that. And I think that's you. I think that's you. You're just a guy. You're just a gal. You're trying to make your way. But I can tell you that there's a place for joy in your life. There's a place for joy. There's a place for that joy is just below the surface. And if we serve him, I've just found over time, you can have joy. Now, are there times when the sorrows of life kind of cover up that joy? Yeah, sometimes. It does. It happens. But if you stay with Jesus, stay with him, the joy will come. It's just below the surface. It's just below the surface. It'll rise. It'll rise, and you'll have joy in your life. If you're a young person today, you guys go through things similar to what I did when I was younger, but there's different challenges for you. A lot of hurts that come in when you're growing up, man, lots of them. But if you stay with Jesus, you're going to be all right. You'll be more than all right. You're going to have joy in your life when a lot of other people around you who are putting on a front are actually really sad inside, and you're going to be able to move forward. You're going to be able to move forward. If I could have the worship team come up, that'd be great. Remember the words of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack what? Nothing. Wow, that's quite a statement. The Lord is my shepherd, and our shepherd is Jesus. If I have Jesus, I lack nothing. That's a bold statement. That's a bold statement, but it's true. It really is true. I lack nothing, at least nothing that's important. Okay? There's a season for everything under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Through Jesus, the Good Shepherd, I can laugh and I can dance. Joy is always just below the surface. Now, a couple weeks ago, I actually wrote a song about this. I had heard Helene Hill quote this when she was going through a rough time. And it struck me because I was watching her go through it. I just kind of had kind of a front row seat. And she did it. She did it. She went through pain and sorrow, but with a joy that was all over her. It's real. It's real. It can happen. It can happen. We're going to do this song for you. And I just called it Time, and I made it a happy song. And before I forget,
Val helped out on some of the lyrics, just so you all. Amen.